Like she said, I'm Greg Miller. I work at CareerBuilder. I'm the Global Social Strategist. So today I'm just going to talk to you a little bit about how we do reporting, how we do benchmarking, and kind of try to give you a little bit of an edge into who your competitors might be that maybe you didn't know. Also, I asked for just like a bottle of water, and they gave me this like baller thing here. So I think I'm going to raffle off these three waters at the end. So if you want a sweet water, I don't know, tell everybody how great I am on the hashtag or something. So when I've been at CareerBuilder almost 2 years now, and so when I first came in, we were doing what I think probably a lot of your companies are doing, or a lot of companies out there do. We were looking at kind of like the vanity numbers, as we call them now, like follower count, share of voice, and we were mostly just looking at our like direct market competitors. So we have a really weird competitive landscape for CareerBuilder. We do the two sides, B2B and B2C. B2C for us is job seekers, so we want people to come to our site, get more people, get their resumes. And then the B2B side, where we want our employers to use us, or employers use our site so that they can find people. So we're doing both sides, we're doing a little bit of everything. But we mostly talk about like our market competitors. Like for us, it's LinkedIn, Indeed, Monster, Dice. Whoever the new kid on the block is trying to knock us down. So we are usually just looking at that. And the trouble with that I found is that kind of gets you to start looking like running in circles. And so the difficulty is like trying to figure out like how can I, yes, pay attention to my competitors as I see them, but how can I also improve the content? Because that was something that we were like kind of obsessed with. We wanted the content to be like the best. Then we'll dump money into it. Then we'll push it out more and get all the stuff going. When I first came in, I started talking to them about how engagement is important, and we really should be focusing on engagement because, yeah, sure, you can have a million followers on Facebook, but thanks to lovely algorithms, you don't even get those people. So you really, really need people to care about what you're putting out. So we started looking at our competitors. We saw that we were beating Monster, cool, whatever, and LinkedIn was beating us, but LinkedIn is like an actual social network as well, so we don't have like much of a chance there. We started thinking about like, well, maybe we should be thinking about somebody else. Who are we really competing against? And in the social media space, it's not like search, it's not like display, it's not like sales. It's you're actually competing for that share of mind and that space in the timeline. People fly through, I mean, you know yourselves, like fly through their streams, looking at 100 different things, and unless you have like the cutest cat in the whole world, they're not gonna stop. So we tried to figure out like, Who are we competing against in that stream? Who are other people looking at while they're looking at our stuff? So this is from my like a snapshot from my stream. Like I follow Trend Hunter, a guy named Christopher Elliott. So it's a mixture of your friends, other brands that are completely unrelated. But I never go through the stream and see a post from Monster and then a post from us and then a post from LinkedIn and then compare them and decide which one I'm gonna like. Like, and I don't think anybody does that on anything. So when you're going through, it's kind of tough to see, well, who are you really, who's out there? I promised my coworkers I'd mention them in the speech. So my crazy friend Sasha, who I work with, is very big into pop culture and the Kardashians and anything on TMZ. So she's following us. And then we've got my boss, who's a little bit more straight-laced, and he's following the Tribune and Time and everything else. So those are all competitors for us. So again, it's hard to figure out who is this bucket that we should be worried about. And so that's kind of what I'm gonna try to walk you through today, is some ideas that did and didn't work for us. I know I imagine that you guys are a mixture of B2B and B2C. This is mostly focused towards B2C, but this can work for B2B in some instances, and I'd be definitely happy to answer questions at the end about it. So this is my favorite slide. Once upon a time, NASA was competing against Russia, you know, or whoever else that they were competing against in like the science space. But literally, like I'm saying, in the feed, they're actually competing against this girl who took 37 photos when she went to the bathroom. I love that you guys are all taking pictures of this. That's awesome. but it's true, like that girl might be your competitor. And that's really weird to think about. So, and especially she might have more followers and friends than, you know, some other brand out there that you're competing against. So you kind of have to think about it in a more fluid, a faster way. So we started to try to figure that out. So what we started to call these people that we're going after is content competitors. I don't know if I invented that term or not, probably not. But this is how we define it at Career Builder for now. It's content competitors are other brands and individuals that our followers follow. Simple as that, whoever else is in the feed. And then once you figure out, okay, maybe this is something that's gonna be that like silver bullet for us to try to get the best content, well, how do you find them? It's very hard, obviously, because there's all these different people. So what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna walk you through my thought process and what has not worked for us and then what has worked for us, because depending on your brand, some of the things that didn't work for us could work for you. So I encourage you to just kind of consider it. So first thing didn't work for us was surveys. We do actually talk to our customers and our potential customers on a regular basis. We thought, like, let's just ask them. Like, who else are you following? What other brands are you following? But the interesting thing about that is people don't necessarily know who they follow. They're not as aware of their stream as you would think they might be. So we would ask them, you know, like, what brands do you follow on Facebook? And they give us the answer like, yeah, Facebook. They're like, no, that's not what we meant. Or just like, nope, I don't follow any brands on Facebook. There's no brands ever. They're like, also, probably not true. And there's people too that like, they'll like Nike, and then you'll ask them 2 years ago, and they'll be like, I would never like Nike. I can't believe you just said that about me. Like, no way. So they don't realize, and so our group of people, it didn't work. Maybe if you have some more self-aware customers, then it could work for you. So we then switched over, try to be a little more tech savvy, and we use Facebook Graph Search. If you don't already know about this, this is something you could literally do today and go into Facebook and type pages liked, and you can get these slides later, pages liked by people who like blank for us Career Builder. And it'll pull up all the other pages on Facebook that the people who've liked you also like. But it's not perfect. So I want to just like give you the caveat there of it's not ranked like Google. Google's super, super smart. They have figured out all the different things about a website, and they rank it on, they change that algorithm like constantly. Facebook's not quite up to that standard yet. They're much more obsessed with friends. So it's actually a little bit more weighted towards you as the individual. So if I went in, some of my friends who are following both pages follow Dunkin' Donuts, Huffington Post, and New York Times. One of my coworkers went in and they like totally different people and they have different friends, they're gonna get a different list. So it's a different list every time. So it's not like a really end-all, be-all solution, but it definitely can give you some ideas. So we went dug a little bit deeper. In Facebook Analytics Native, you can do pages to watch, and you can pick, I think they usually suggest you do at least 5, and you can just load them in, it's free, it's part of your analytics, and if you have a page, and you can start to follow certain competitors and see, well, like, who's winning that week. And also, if you do end up doing that, just know that that's a weekly thing for them. If you have a tool that does it for you, you're set. But if you're doing this native, it's just week by week. So down at the bottom there, it says suggested pages to watch. And I was like, yes, we found it. Like, it tells you. No, it doesn't. So this basically just takes, once you put 5 or whatever more like competitors in there, this will tell you, oh, here's some similar ones. And so, yeah, we should probably look at these people a little bit, but they're not our major competitors, and you know, we can't just look at everybody. So this really wasn't all that helpful. We're a little bit obsessed with Twitter ads at times. It's worked out really well for us, so we decided to dig into that. And Twitter has something similar like that. But again, you have to have a starting point. So these are great, but these are not good starting points. So we went into Twitter ads, and we just, if you haven't used Twitter ads before, you can target other people's followers, which is really cool. You can't do that on Facebook, but you can target anybody you want. So we typed in Monster, and it gave us all these other ones, like some not surprising. So that was good, but again, not what we're looking for. We need like that starting point. So we try to get a little bit more advanced, and we use a tool called Sprinklr for like all things social. And so we tried to like stretch that tool and break it and do whatever we could to it. And we did social listening, and we used their rules engine. And we basically took everybody who ever engaged with our channel, put them in a bucket, like a social listening audience bucket, and then followed what they said all the time. And then we tried to rank the most often mentioned links. And we figured, well, okay, if they're sharing it, that's obviously like a big deal. They actually care about this brand. And then also, like, if these are like links, then we can find a brand, and maybe that could work. And we got really close. This was better. We did get some intelligence from this, but it gets a little bit, it takes a long time. It gets a little hairy. A lot of people are just sharing contests to win an iPad. a horrible amount of people. It's depressing. But yeah, so we found a decent amount. It just took a long time, but it wasn't quite right for us. So what the sweet spot for us was hashtags. And what I love about hashtags is that it's real time, it's relevant. If you find the right one, it's like pure gold. And it can really, really direct your content if you're looking for better content. And so we just did some brainstorming. We came up with hashtag career goals, which just really fits with where we're going and who we want to be as a company right now. We really are interested in, like, what do you want to be when you grow up? Or maybe you're in a job right now that you're not crazy about. What would you want to be doing? And we don't try to push the dream job thing like some of the other job boards do, but we do want to try to be aspirational. We want to give people, hey, if you're not where you want to be, you could be somewhere else. So it just worked for us. And it was like the target we're looking for and everything. So once we realized that hashtags were the way to go, we did do some brainstorming, try to make sure that we had the right hashtag, and did a lot of different research. So we went to our keywords. We used Google Keyword Planner. There is a relationship between keywords, SEO stuff, and hashtags. Not a perfect one-to-one. You can't just take that list and put it in and you're done. But it can give you some insight. So we use that to see, like, what are people searching for, especially for us. Our followers often think of us as a educational, like, main source of information about, like, resumes and how to get a job and all that stuff. So we use some of the things that they're looking for and they're interested about to get us towards the right direction. And then we also use Hashtagify.me. That's a cool free tool. I encourage you guys to all use it. If you ever think of a hashtag that you think is great, just throw it in there. It takes 2 seconds, and it'll pull up all the related hashtags. If they've used this hashtag, then they'll use these 7. And what's really cool is they tell you the volume of how much it's used. So then you can decide, like, oh, I think I've got it. This is perfect. Like, we thought resume would be, like, that is a great hashtag. But resumes is better. We didn't know that. But we wouldn't have known that unless we threw it into something like this. But the sweet spot for us to find out, like, what is the best hashtag was these wonderful people that I work with, our coworkers. We had everybody just come up with hashtags. Like, what do you think would be a cool thing? We had some horrible ones. We had some really good ones. We narrowed it down. We gave everybody a chance. That's our whole creative team there, or creative services, I think we call ourselves now. And we just boiled it down, and we eventually wound up with career goals, which is right for us. So that might work for you. Once we had that, Instagram is a big focus for us. Even if Instagram's not a big focus for us, for you, I recommend you go there and just give it a shot. Because when you put the hashtag in Instagram, it automatically tells you the top posts. It's all visual, which visual is the name of the game now. And there's just a huge audience there. So we went through this into it, and we looked at some of the top posts out there. We found out the, like, did you know type stuff is good. Obviously, you can't miss with a celebrity. This is hilarious. If you can't read it, it says, Khan, what do you do for a living? It says, I'm a recovering vegetarian. So that's kind of unbeatable. We haven't thought of something that funny yet. But what was cool about this is it showed us some of the different content themes that are out there that people are already using on this hashtag. And that's where I think we differed from some brands. We didn't create a hashtag that we were trying to own. We created a hashtag that was already out there. Because what we wanted to know was, what do people say already? Like, we're lucky on the job seeker side that there's a million. You're all job seekers, like, at some point, like, or passive or whatever. So we can get a lot of information from that, and they are already talking, and they're already using their own speech patterns, and they're not going to change to what we want. So we were able to find a lot of there. And then the other thing is benchmarking, which I guess is why you're probably here. It gave us some realistic numbers. 4,000, that's crazy. You have to do something extra to get that. You have to have a great, huge, following, or you have to put a little bit of money behind it or something like that. But these were realistic numbers, like 100, 106, 117. So we knew what to shoot for then and what might actually happen. Bless you. So this is one of the hardest parts for me, I feel like, is just picking something that's realistic. I get sometimes the request that, like, well, what is it going to take to be successful? And then I ask, well, what does success look like? And they're like, great question. Answer that too. Like, okay, this is going to be fun. So try to get as realistic as you can. And when you go to the top post like that and you see other people, that's a pretty mathematical way to be able to explain, like, what's realistic. And then you've got something to shoot for. So our goals specifically for our job seeker B2C side is to improve brand awareness, increase traffic to our website for 18 to 34-year-olds. At least this year, that's what we're focusing on. So that's kind of what a lot of this is tracked to. I know some of you might not all be about awareness right now. But there are other ways to use this, and I'd be happy to answer those questions at the end. So the key for me, especially like selling this up the ladder, which I think is one of the hardest things in social media, is keeping a focus on like what's coming next. And so what I constantly talk to them about is a metrics roadmap. They're like, okay, cool. When I came in, we're talking about followers. Followers are nice. I love followers. But what's more important for us now is engagement. And so we are very, very obsessed with engagement per post. That's like, that's the thing for us, because that to us shows quality. Then eventually we're going to look for shares. We're starting to do this now. So shares is, I think, the most important, like for us, for what we're doing. We're trying to get that brand awareness, get the message out. It's the most important metric for us because it shows, first off, if you're going to share something, you probably really like it. You like it more than something you actually liked. But at the same time, you're getting organic additional reach. So it is like the best thing ever. And then obviously we're always going to want overall site traffic. That's our ultimate goal. If you guys haven't been on Kerbler yet, please everybody go drop your resume in there, even if you're not looking. But yeah, that's what we're looking for. So we'll be looking at all these at once. But the key when I'm selling it up the ladder is we should only be looking at one at a time. And I get a lot of times, and I'm sure you have too, that, well, why can't we just, let's get all of those. So great, let's get everything. Like, let's just be really good at all the things. You're like, cool, but that's not so easy. And like, even just the idea of let's get people to get on our site more and upload their resume, that's not a one-step process. And I know you in the room here, like as marketers, realize that's probably like a 50-step process. But here's a few of the steps. And so that's what I try to talk to them about. And so like, I literally come in like, this year is engagement, next year is shares. And then once we have that locked down, then we're going to overall site traffic. Like, and we're looking at the others, but that's, I'm probably going too far into it now. So once we had like our metrics and what we want to go after and what we're doing, next step is test, measure, test, measure, test, measure, test, and just keep going. I said test probably 7,000 times my first month, and they were really annoyed with me, but they finally get it. And now I hear them say it all the time, and it's really cool because everyone's like thinking that way, like, well, let's just try it. And that's a really good mentality to have. I was talking over here to one of my friends from New Jersey, and she was saying like she just got to that point, like where her company is actually like doing pilot programs. And just to kind of answer a question that is not even up there, but when you have, when you're having trouble selling this into your higher ups, like how do you prove ROI? And they want ROI before you've even started anything. The key is try to get that little bit in there and try to get them to give you just a tiny test budget, a tiny test week, and then just try to show some success. And if you can get a little bit of success, then people have a hard time arguing with like numbers. So just try to get the tests in there. The more tests you can do, the better, and that also makes you better as you're going. So back to this, we do reporting weekly, monthly, and quarterly. So weekly, we do it to find what is our top content, those pieces of content, the posts individually that have worked really well. Monthly, we look at it for campaigns. In my opinion, if you're looking at a real campaign, a week is too short. So we look at that monthly. And then quarterly, we do track back to our other competitors, people we've pointed out in our hashtag research or any of our market competitors or anybody else we're looking at. So we do that on a regular basis. And we always look at engagement per post. We also only focus on the top posts. I guess inherently I'm like a little bit more of a positive person and try to just want to look on the sunny side. But at the same time, really it's what's gonna pull you towards success, because if your post got very little engagement or it was a real middle of the road one for you, there could be a million reasons why that's the case. But if something goes crazy skyrockets, you pretty much know that's good. And that's worth at least testing again, at the very least. So we just look at the top posts. And we just look at the different engagement numbers and see if we've been beating ourselves. Then we go to A-B testing. A-B testing is hard with social media, I'll admit that. But we do try it as much as we can. I think one of the things that I totally disagree with that I hear sometimes is that you want to have different posts every single time you put it out there. And you want to make sure that your content is always different every time and you never repeat things. And I don't think that that's necessarily needed. There's no one who actually looks at all of your posts. I'm sorry to say it, unless maybe your boss. But no one is going through like, this is a great book. Oh man, I wonder how it ends. Like, they're gonna see it for 1 second as they're flying through. So don't worry about testing stuff, especially on Twitter. We will put out the exact same post over and over again, week after week, not right back to back, like we're not spamming people, but we will repeat messaging because if it works, it works. And a lot of times, depending on your business, like you don't really have brand new messaging. Like for us, there's a great way, there's some tips to keep in mind with cover letters. That's not gonna change over the next year or two. So we will just put it back out and people who missed it then get to see it. So things we test are timing, time of day. Sprinklr has this awesome, awesome widget that just shows you the actual time of day and the time and the day of the week that worked the best for you. You can do that manually. You can pull this all into a spreadsheet and just track it all down. It's gonna take a long time. If you have an agency, make them do it. also, obviously, testing copy and design, calls to action, what the topic is. We actually, our main goal is to just actually, it's kind of crazy what she was talking about in the opening speech, that whole customer journey. For us, our journey is from when you think you maybe sort of want a new job, possibly, to getting the job. And then to afterwards, like thinking about your next job and everything in between, networking, resumes. And so we want an awesome dynamite piece of content for every single section. So we have broken out our content themes and we are testing against that. And we're looking for the big heavy hitters. Then we also test channel. If one thing works on one channel, will it work on another? You spend a lot of time on content. You don't need to be creating brand new content for every single channel. You should definitely always skew it, change the wording, do what you can to kind of make it fit a little bit better. But if you can make something work in two places, I recommend it. It's crazy to us, but for some reason, what we've realized recently is what works on Instagram for us works on LinkedIn. I would not have guessed that, but that's the case for us. So try it. That's all I'm saying. And then, yeah, calls to action. We'll actually literally tell people. Obviously, on Facebook, there's a rule that says you cannot say, share this if whatever, like this if this, comment for, you know, whatever you want. But there is no rule like that on Twitter. And there's a couple other networks where there's no rule like that. I think there's no rule like that on LinkedIn. So you don't get dinged that way. So go ahead and ask them to. People sometimes need a real like call to action. Like, what should I be doing with this? If you tell them to retweet, they will sometimes, which is kind of cool. We always compete against ourselves. That's our number one thing. We're not always going back to see if we hit that 106, hit that 117. We're trying to see, did we beat last week? The most important thing is beating last week. If you come into the job and you beat last week every week, you're crushing it. Sorry, I'm gonna take water really quick. Actually, this was a really cool post. We put this up. It did like a lot better than a lot of other ones. Maybe because Samuel L. Jackson was in it. I don't know. But memes have been crushing it for us lately. But speaking of that, once you're competing against yourself and you're gonna get to a plateau. You're gonna feel like, all right, I don't think we have any more ideas. And maybe you don't. Maybe you just have ideas forever, and that's great. Then you should come work for us. But if you do get to that plateau, like most people will, you then need to go back to the hashtag. We do that weekly. We do it monthly, checking what's out there. Even if you think you're killing it, like go back and see if anyone else is doing better than you. So what we noticed recently is people are actually putting a lot of stuff up on hashtag career goals, which we're always checking, putting a lot of stuff up about like what some little kid wants to be when they grow up. This is my son, he's 3 years old, he wants to be a photographer, he's not 3 years old, but a different post I saw. And then memes of just like that moment when type of stuff. I mean, we're going after 18 to 34 year olds, they love to talk about themselves and what's happening with them right then. So we try to capture that as best we can. It's hard, but we're getting closer. Then like I said before, we try to build a content library. Even if you're not doing what we're doing, where you're like, here's this like customer journey, you should probably have some messaging pillars at least to mark back to, and you should be looking for a top post for every one of those messaging pillars. It's not just good enough to be like, we've got two really great posts we can put out over and over again. If you have two and you have four messaging pillars, that means you have two to go. You still have more work to do. So try to dive back in. Just make it seem more on purpose. Like when you're trying to sell this up, this is one of the major factors that's going to make it make sense to someone outside of social media is like, we have messaging pillars. This is what you guys are doing. Here are the posts that match to them. And then you can actually go back to them and tell other people in marketing that they should be doing their jobs maybe a little bit better in different sections based on what you found. The fact that memes and this moment when works really well means I'm actually this week going to be talking to our customer insight department and try to get them to think more about real specifics. What do people really go through? Not applying to a job is hard. Why is it hard? What's the thing? And I'm going to be pressuring them quite a bit because I have the numbers to prove it. I can do that. So I encourage you to do too. Then once you have it, I'm probably going too fast, but that's more time for questions. Then once you have everything locked in and you're like, I've got the content, then you try to bring the big guns to the table. And advertising is just a necessity. Some people don't, maybe some of your bosses don't realize that advertising is required as a brand for social media now. And you can quote me on that, tell them that I said it, but the thing is, target, like, ads will allow you to target. You cannot target that specifically on certain networks without ads. It's required. And with the algorithm changes that are happening on Instagram right now and have already been killing us for a while on Facebook, you can't even get your own followers. So it's not like a, well, advertising could help thing anymore. It's required at this point. So I would definitely recommend it. Instagram ads have been doing really well for us. Our goal there is engagement, so it works out well. But the cost per engagement is the best we've ever seen. And then outreach. This is resources. Maybe you can't do this as much as you'd like. You're never going to be able to do it as much as you really would like. But we do this as much as we can. We literally, so Career Goals is our big thing. We have our social media managers going in there and commenting and liking and just interacting with everyone else who's making that type of content. Because a lot of times they're not brands or they're complementary brands. Excuse me. And when you outreach to those people and you actually engage with them, what they'll do often is they'll come back to your page and check out who is this person who, I mean, hopefully a lot of them already know who CareerBuilder is. But when they come back to CareerBuilder, they can check out, oh, I didn't know you had an Instagram channel, I didn't know, whatever. And then we'll all of a sudden get like 10 likes, you know, 3 shares, and we've got an extra follower. So that was like a massive exchange we just had because we decided to say that their picture was cool or they looked good that day. I mean, your social media managers should be these positive, encouraging people anyway. So you can say something very simple as, man, awesome pick. You're the best at being you, you know? And they're like, that's true. I am the best at being me. And they'll come back and they'll like all your pictures. So I definitely encourage that. So bottom line, this has been working for us. I'm living proof. We've been doing this for about 6 months, this particular strategy of content competitors leading the way. And we have seen just crazy jumps. I don't think I can read that anymore, but I mean, it was like almost 200% in jump in engagement per post. And it was just crazy. And this is just a representative number. I didn't give you guys the real numbers. But yeah, so I will kick it to questions at this point. If you, for some reason, don't want to ask now or you have something really specific, you are also welcome to go ahead and email me. That's my email address at work. You can hit me on Twitter. Sometimes I'm not quite as fast as some other people, but I will definitely get back to you. And I also write for socialmediaexaminer.com. So if you want to check out my articles, that'd be cool. But you can also comment there, ask me questions, or come up to me later. I'm doing one of these dinners as well. So they offered me free food and I couldn't say no. So first 3 people who ask a question get a water. So raise your hand, please. Cool. Awesome. Yeah, I'm gonna give it to her.
Oh, okay. I don't want.
Well, then you can give it to someone. There you go.
I don't know if it's really a question, but I just wanted to know more about Sprinklr.
Okay. Yeah.
If you could maybe elaborate, and then is it a free tool or do you know the cost-ish?
It is, at least the way we bought it, it's very much an enterprise-level tool. So whatever price they quote you is going to be different than what they quoted us. It's one of the more expensive ones out there, for sure. But it's a very powerful tool. We use it for social listening. It does everything every other social listening tool does, and they hit all the platforms. We use it for reporting. I am obsessed with the reporting. It's super easy. I can't tell you. Courtney right there. Wave, Courtney. I used to work with Courtney. At an agency where we just spent just horrific amount of time creating reports manually. And sometimes you have to do that. But some of the stuff that it took me like days to figure out is like a snap in Sprinklr, and that has allowed me to sell up a lot of our ideas. It's also like, it's global. No matter what country you're in, they have this available for you. They have different languages. You can have your entire dashboard in almost any language. Which is cool for us because we needed that in some cases. And there's just a lot it can do. So if you have the money, I would recommend it, but it is not a free tool and it's not really cheap. Do you want to decide?
While you build these campaigns and push out social media, is it all organic for you, or do you always buy a paid reach?
That's a good question.
Is it worth the cash?
Yeah, definitely always worth the cash. We don't just pay for everything. I think my boss just accused me of that sometimes, but they're like, you can just spend money on anything and then just like success. I'm like, that's not, okay, never mind. We push out everything organically first. And our strategy for our probably most successful strategy is we wait to see organically what's worked and put the money on that. And that's a real easy explanation for anybody. They'll buy that. Yeah, I think it's not strategic if you're just putting money on everything. And then you're kind of killing yourself a little bit because you really want them to see your best content, not just that you're putting content out. So there's probably some education there for some of your higher ups that maybe you're talking to that you have to do, but it sounds like you're doing the right thing, so good luck. Yeah, that's fair. Depends on what platform you're talking about. And I think that for us, it also very much depends on how you're targeting. So for that type of thing, what we do, especially like, let's say Facebook has this awesome thing called lookalike audiences. And so we will actually, and they have, it's crazy how similar they really are. So we'll take the stuff that's organically working and we'll push it to the lookalike audience, which are people who are not following our channel, but are similar in like whatever, some 10 data points that they've made up. And that has worked really well. So if that's not working for you, that's a good point. That can happen. And I think then what you might find is that the people who are your current customers and the people who you're going after are not the same. And there's probably some disjointed there. And so you probably, as a brand, have to look at who you're targeting. Are you targeting the right people? Or are you trying to shift and maybe these are your customers now, but you want those people over there. And then, yeah, it's going to be different, but that's the best intelligence you have at the time. So you just have to kind of try it. Sure. There's like huge lists. I usually use Sprinklr most of the time now that I have it because it's a pretty huge tool. So you don't need to do it. That's what I liked about it is it's you can do best of breed for everything and then you've got 10 tools and that's cool, but it might be more expensive or it might be harder to track it all together for one report. So I use Sprinklr a lot, but also used Hootsuite before. Native analytics can't beat, like especially for certain platforms. I'm not sure if this is true like everywhere. I'm sure some of them don't have it, but Sprinklr's not awesome at Pinterest yet, especially when it comes to analytics. So we get a lot more out of just going into Pinterest. So I don't know if there's really anything out there that can do much more than the native, except for maybe when it comes to Instagram. Instagram is, there's like 4 or 5 great apps and they are better. So I don't know, I hope I answered that.
I'm gonna look
into Sprinklr. Cool, yeah. I know, they should be paying me. What, any other questions?
I have a question.
Oh, okay.
Hi, could you just talk a bit more about targeting audiences? And basically my question would be, would you suggest having various targeted audiences as not to just be spreading the same message to the same people constantly?
Sure, so for ads then?
Sorry?
So when you say like the targeting audiences, mm-hmm. you mean like for when you're doing ads?
Exactly, yeah.
Okay, yeah, that's a little bit of like a marketing mentality thing. Are you one of those people who's willing to put all your eggs in one basket? And do you have more than one goal at the time? For us, like our main goal is awareness, like there's the flag. But if you want to accomplish 3 or 4 things, you are gonna need different audiences for that. The more targeted, the better. I mean, like that's the hardest part of advertising, which is back to, you can't just throw money at it and it's gonna work. There's strategy to it. So one of the things that we do is we segment our audiences just to test. So that's part of the optimization piece. So we'll target maybe 3 different groups. So for example, on Facebook, let's say, and that's not the only place we advertise, but just one of the easier ones to talk about. We segment it out to our retargeted audiences, which is the people who've come to our site, which retargeting, if you haven't like learned about that, like Google that when you get home, because that's gonna change your life. But the people who've been to our site, that's one. Lookalikes of our fans, that's one. And then like who we sort of think we're going after, which is like 18 to 34 year olds, because that's all one group, they're all the same. We do that as well. And we try to see based on what we're putting out, what actually hits. and where it's hitting. And that tells us a little bit about our content and who we're really talking to, because it's not like it is in college when they say you sit down and you think of your target market and then you make the perfect ad for that person and you put it out and then everyone succeeds. And you're like, well, it's usually you start in the middle and then you try to catch up and hopefully you get back to the beginning at some point. So for us, we will put out that ad or put out that post and just hope that we're hitting the right group, but that'll teach us a lot. So I'd say segment as much as possible. If you're doing Facebook advertising or Twitter, they'll give you a rep and they'll help you walk through it. Otherwise, there's like a ton. I would literally recommend going to socialmediaexaminer.com. The reason why I write for them is because I use them the most. And they're like, it's probably the best place on the internet for how-to social media.
Often do you change your content strategy based on the analytics behind the content, since you do weekly reporting, which is quite a bit?
Yeah, that's not an easy answer, because it's sort of continuous, then it's sort of not. We take a real hard look at everything once a year. We're constantly tweaking, which is what I just call optimizing, every week. You have to if you want to succeed. Like, if you take your eye off the ball on social media with analytics, you're going to miss it. And you're not going to get the numbers. And you're not even going to know that you missed it. So we change it slightly week by week. It's like this rolling brainstorm. Like, hey, what if we did this? Like, people seem to like emojis and stuff. Let's make those. I don't know. And just see how it works. We just try new things and we test. So it's not so much a segmented, like, every 2 weeks, every month. I think for every brand, it's very different. I think you have to look at least once a year of changing your content strategy once a year and then optimize as much as you can. Is that it? Did I say all the things? You guys know everything now? Is it because I don't have water anymore? Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you very much. This was my first time speaking, so you guys were really nice. I appreciate that. Thank you. Oh, okay. Yeah, sure. And like I said, if you didn't have time or something, hit me up.
I was just going to ask how you set your benchmarks. Did you guys just track over time and then just find a sweet spot and shoot for that? I mean, is there some kind of magical formula that you guys plug in?
I think the magic thing for us was the hashtags and going in and seeing what other people have gotten. Because if you're putting something out to make a message that makes sense with that hashtag, you can see other people who are doing the same thing, and it could be like the girl who takes pictures in the bathroom. Like, and if she's whatever she's getting, that is probably your potential for that group. So that's been kind of magic for us. Otherwise, like, it's mostly just like last year or last month, and you know, you just want to try to beat yourself.